We do thank pastor and church for the invitation to be on the schedule this year, come preach the Word of God. We're still very humbled and still feel very insufficient and just fall upon Him, asking Him to help us. We appreciate all the work that's gone into these services and all those who have had the slightest part in that labor. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, the 8th chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse number 41 and eventually read most of the rest of Luke chapter 8. Luke 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Jesus is approached by one of the rulers of the synagogue, a man by the name of Jairus. And Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter who is dying. As I compare this to the other Gospels, my belief, my conviction is that she was sick unto death, not yet passed. At the time, Jairus sought Jesus Christ. And as he seeks Jesus to come, to intervene, to work miraculously in the healing of his 12-year-old daughter, a woman comes on the scene who has been afflicted the same number of years. As long as this little girl has been on the face of this earth, this woman has been afflicted with this loss of blood all of those years. And as we have heard more than once during the course of this conference, she could find no help. The doctors couldn't help. She had spent much seeking remedy and help. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, as this woman has received healing and a miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ, word comes from Jairus' home, and it's not good news. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." It's too late. What you sought him for cannot be done. She's gone. You've lost your 12-year-old girl. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." I believe this young girl has died. She's gone physically. And yet Jesus Christ, who was sought of this man to come and heal his daughter, now that she has died, tells him to only believe, or it'll all be well. So the miracle that he came seeking from Jesus Christ is going to be increased many times over by the promise of the Lord that she will now be raised from the dead. And we read down in verse number 54, as Christ makes his way there, gets to the house where all the mourning and everything is already engaged. Verse 54, "And he," Jesus, "put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat." So a young girl who was sick unto death, whose father sought a miracle, died. Because of his faith, the Lord worked a greater miracle than that by raising her from the dead. As we've studied and prepared and sought the Lord's will over the last couple of weeks, the Lord gave us 3 or 4 messages from the miracles. And so we had to turn around and say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for the messages." But which one is the one for this hour? Amen. We've struggled even up to the very noon meal time in trying to find peace. I really wanted to preach on how Christ silences, how Christ puts to silence those drama queens that are so prevalent in our life today. As Jesus Christ returns to the house with this ruler, and this girl is already passed, there's quite a show going on. They're weeping and they're mourning and they're screaming, and instruments are being played. And with all due respect, a great show is being performed in mourning of this girl's passing. And as you compare this passage of Scripture with where it is found other places, you will find, I believe, that these mourners and these that were weeping and carrying on such a tumult were actually those who were hired by the family. They were professional mourners and weepers. And I like it when Jesus puts them out of the house. It's never as bad as it seems when Jesus is in the house. Our situation, our circumstance is never as bad as it is or is to us when Jesus is in our view. He says, "Be quiet." I see this a lot when I watch the news, when planes go down in this part of the world. You just see an uncontrolled, just a crazy carrying on when people of the East lose a family member. I've always scratched my head. Why do they carry on like that? Such out of control. And they can have been told that a loved one went down, the plane was lost, and they're done. Days later, when news comes out that, yeah, we've confirmed that, they just lose total control. We're living the day and age of the drama queen, drama king. It's all about self. And we love to talk about our problems. Social media is filled with talking about our problems. And our problems are always much bigger than they really are if we'll keep Jesus in mind. He puts them out of the house and they're laughing at him. But they're not laughing when this little girl is raised again, right on schedule, right as God had planned. He raised her and she immediately needed a meal and nourishment. Christ gave instructions there. Go to John chapter 11 if you would. John chapter 11. I tell our church often, there are passages of Scripture that when you hear me reference them, lights ought to come on and you ought to automatically know what's going on there. And I think as you hear John 11, a lot of those lights are coming on and everybody here knows what significant event we find in this gospel. John 11 has to do with a man by the name of Lazarus. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, no stranger to Jesus, a dear friend of Jesus. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved his two sisters, Mary and Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he'd heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. And as the story unfolds here, we look over to verse 14 and 15. Then said Jesus unto them, the disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's not sick anymore. He's dead. He's not sleeping. Right. He's dead. He's not slumbering. He's gone. He has left this world as far as the flesh is concerned. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. All these miracles are so filled with wonders and statements that amaze. He's dead. Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Not quite what you would expect Christ to say. He's dead. I'm glad we weren't there. Well, let's go to him. He's dead. Let's go visit Lazarus. Down in verse number 20, as Christ makes his way to Bethany, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And we know the rest of the story. He rose again. Our Lord and Savior went to the place where he was buried. Several days have now passed, and everybody understands after all this time, surely the body is decaying and the body stinks. But Jesus went to the place where he was buried, and Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. Was raised to life again. The theme of our time together this year has to do with the miracles of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus. And when we consider the miracles, we see Jesus in many ways. And we see Jesus in every way that is beneficial and blessed to us. As we've considered the miracles of Christ, in light of that, we see Jesus. I thought of that passage that says, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. So there we see Jesus, the name God gave to him, the Son of God, made lower than the angels. Made human, made a man for the suffering of death. And we see Jesus, who was made a man so that he could suffer and die for our sins. We now see him crowned with glory and honor. Oh, when we think about those words, we see Jesus, and we couple those with the miracles. If the Lord gave us another 100 years of these conferences, we could see Jesus in these and never exhaust how many ways Jesus is to be seen. And he's the only one who should be seen. It's God's desire that in all things Christ have the preeminence. That's particularly in relationship to our churches. It's him we're supposed to be seeing. Our brother just preached from Acts 2:22. I want to read that verse again. Because miracles, the miracles that Christ performed, show us that he was who he said he was. As we've heard, the miracles were not with benefiting or blessing somebody in need as the end. But in God's blessings upon those who experience these miracles, the end was exalting Christ, glorifying Christ, lifting up Christ and saying, he was, he is who he said he was and who he says he is. In Acts 2, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Jesus was approved of God among men while he was here upon this earth by the miracles and the wonders and the signs that he did. John 5, verse 36. John 5, verse 36. Christ speaks about the witness of John the Baptist. He speaks about the witness of God himself in verse 37 on. But then he mentions in verse 36 of John 5, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. John came, John the Baptist, and John did no miracles, because John wasn't the one they were to be looking for. John was the forerunner of the one they were to be looking for. John was the one who was going to point the way to the one that was promised, and that one was Christ. Christ came, performing miracles and the works that the Father had given him to bear witness that he was who he said he was. In John 14, verse 9, Philip says, show us the Father. Show us the Father. Have you not been paying attention, Philip? Jesus says, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You want to see the Father? You've seen the Father. You've seen the Father in me, Philip. By the miracles, by the works and the wonders, words that I have spoken, you've seen the Father. Miracles show us he was who he said he was. Miracles show us the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Because it is God who foreplanned and predestined. We miss this sometimes. Before creation, before the foundation of the world, it was God who predestined every miracle Jesus Christ would perform. And it was God who, in sovereign control of each one of those people's lives and every detail of their lives, in bringing them that moment when Christ would come into their life and do that miracle. It was all under God's sovereign control. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't their good luck day. It was according to a sovereign God. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Our Lord is sovereign. We miss that many times in our use of the name Lord. He's master and sovereign. We see in the miracles election. When Jesus Christ was here, sickness did not cease. Handicaps did not go away. He didn't come and with one great swath of his hand eliminate all these things from society. But those who God had chosen, Christ went to and worked these wonders and these signs and these miracles. The providential working of God is seen. I look at providence as God kind of giving us our journey from point A to point B. In his providence, his directing, his providing, his leading, his guiding in everything. That's a part of the journey. In his providence, he provides. And I don't arrive at anything God has appointed in my life by accident. I don't arrive 5 minutes too early or 5 minutes too late. It's the providence of God that brings me to every moment. His working in every little intricate detail that brings me to that moment. The miracles show us his sovereignty. We see the election of God. We see the providential working of God. And if you haven't already figured it out, the miracles show us, and we see Jesus is always on time. As we look at the miracles, we see Jesus is always on time. Every one of these miracles happened right according to God's plan, and not a one was an accident. I must needs go. I've got to go over here. I'm going to go over here. Let's go over here. And this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. It was all Jesus Christ, knowing the will of the Father, because He was God in the flesh. We see in the ruler of the synagogue, "My daughter is dying." I can relate. Any parent here can relate what was on his heart. A child is sick. A child looks like they're upon the threshold of death. His heart was heavy with a desire not to lose his daughter, to see her raised, to be given her health back. And he goes to Jesus. "Daughter's dying. All right, let's go." And as they begin that journey, Christ becomes enthroned by the people. What were those people? I believe by the mindset of the ruler, they were delays. Clear path! "My daughter's sick! She might even die. Get out of the way. We need to get to my daughter's house. We need to get home. Get the master there." And then as these people throng Jesus, a woman who's been sick for 12 years without remedy, God has given her the faith to come and find Jesus and to press through the throng and the crowds, to reach her hand through somehow and just touch the hem of His garment, believing it would benefit her. And Jesus knew she was there. Jesus knew every situation and circumstance of her life. Jesus knew the very second she was going to touch Him. He drew attention to her not because He was surprised, but to be a witness. The testimony. Peter says, "There's hundreds of people around you, and you want to know who touched you?" I think the Lord, in a roundabout way, really wanted to say, "Peter, no, I want you to know
right.
who touched me." But this was a delay. So this woman gets her healing. Now they can begin their journey, and the news comes. It's too late. Don't bother Jesus. So many thoughts. Don't bother Jesus. You can't bother Jesus. Don't dismiss your situation as not being worthy of bothering Jesus about. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. But she's already gone. The mourners are already at their posts, and Jesus enters the house with just mom and dad and the three disciples. Just enough to witness the raising. Raises this young girl from her deathbed. We know the story of Lazarus. I always want to break out in song. But I know that's a fast way to clear the building. And I'm not quite done with you, so I'm not going to sing. But I just love this song, 4 days late.
Yeah.
I can't remember the group that made it big on Southern Gospel. But I can remember Sister Lafferty singing that song many a times. And I've heard others sing it. It's always more blessed to hear one of God's people sing it than professionals. But the news came to Jesus. Lazarus was sick. "Lord, if you don't come quick, He may die. Jesus didn't come quick. He delayed, it appeared, to men. And it wasn't until after Lazarus was dead that Jesus said, let's go see him now. I love that song, when he's 4 days late, he's always on time. Jesus, when we look at the miracles and we study miracle by miracle, Jesus was never late. Every single time, Jesus was on time. Rather be raising the sick or calling from the grave or giving sight or healing the withered, he was always right where God had planned and purposed for him to be, doing exactly what God had planned and purposed for him to do, right on time. Amen. And this is so important for us, folks.
Yes.
We need to see Jesus is always on time.
Amen.
He's never late. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. When we look around and say, surely he's forgotten me. Surely he's lost track of my situation. Why hasn't he come? Always remember, when we look at the miracles of what Jesus Christ did, he was always on time. Always on time. Luke chapter 2, we're not going to be able to turn to so many of these passages. 12 years of age. Jesus is in the temple reasoning with the experts. His mom and dad find him there, earthly speaking. And they were amazed. Amazed. And in that dialogue with them, Jesus says, don't you understand I need to be about the Father's business? But what did he do? Rebel. I'm not going home with you. No. He went back home with them, and he was the perfect son, submitted unto them, and he never got off schedule. His ministry began right when God wanted it to, right according to God's schedule. First miracle he performed, turning water into wine, showed him for who he was, right on schedule. Back there in John 5, I want to read that 36th verse again. Jesus speaking in John 5, verse 36, that I have greater witness than that of John. Now pay attention to what Christ says. Pay attention to words. What he's saying. For the works which the Father hath given me to try to do. See what I could accomplish with it. No. The works, which include these miracles we're talking about, God gave to Jesus to finish.
Amen.
Get done. Right on schedule. The works that he's given me to finish, those same works I do. They bear witness of me. God has given me these things to finish, and I will finish them. And I will do them one by one, day by day. And in a ministry, not much over 3 years in time, he did everything the Father had sent him to do. Right on schedule. Right on schedule. As you read that 36th verse, Jesus goes on to say, the Father
also has borne witness of me. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. In that search the scriptures, you're also going to find the miracles of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament told us of Christ's coming, the signs, the wonders, the miracles. These are all revelations of Scripture. And Jesus Christ kept these things all on time. He said in John 4, verse 34, my meat, my mission, my goal, my desire, my work, my meat is to do His will, the will of Him that sent me, and to finish that work. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ came in time, at the right time, right on time, to die for our sins. God, who spoke to us in so many ways in times past, Hebrews tells us, has spoken to us by His Son in these latter days, right on time. As God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and Christ came right on time, in time, to die for us, Christ called us unto Himself at the appointed time. We've heard much about the miracle of salvation, and there wasn't one second, that the salvation of your soul was off.
That's right.
According to the plan of God. He came to me. He came to you. Right on schedule. Everything that happens to us in our life is according to God's plan and God's purpose. And folks, every time we need Him, He's always right on time. We're not the name it and claim it crowd. But every time we need a miracle, just like every miracle He ever performed, Jesus performs it right on time. We're never to be so desperate that we quit. We throw up our hands. We're never to lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is always on time. As has been said a few times, I don't know what you're going through, but I know the one who knows what you're going through. And don't lose hope. What you need and the miracle that you so desperately stand in need of at this moment, it'll come right on time. He cares for us. He cares for His people. I couldn't help but consider, as has been mentioned in the course of these services, all the examples of miracles that are here. And I really believe, without reservation, I can say that if we had the testimonies of all those who could say, I've experienced a miracle, they would also say, it came right on time. Just when you needed Him the most. Just when it was hurting so bad. And you wanted to give up because the heartbreak was so bad. The Lord was there. Just when medically, just when physically, it looked like, oh, this is bad. No need for the drama queens. It's not as bad as it seems when we just keep trusting the Lord. If you're here and you're lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If God is going to save your soul and Christ is going to draw you unto Himself, guess what? It's going to be right on time. It might just be, this is the time.
Right.
You need a Savior?
Do you need the miracle of salvation that has been referenced so many times during the course of these last 2 days? That miracle is going to come from the Lord. And it's going to come right on time. I was listening, talking to, memory is a bad thing, Luke. I remember you. I was talking to Brother Luke Austin a little bit at lunch and giving his testimony. And it's a testimony of the Lord saving him right on his time, bringing him to the end of himself, yes, according to God's working. Mm-hmm. All the circumstances and situations, and none of those things were accidents or happenstance. But God saved him right on his schedule. Amen. That's true of all of us. Amen. Jesus is always right on time. No matter what you're standing in need of, trust the Lord. Only believe, as he told the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus will always be on time. You find yourself in the hospital, you find yourself at the funeral home, find yourself at the end of anything you can do to change your circumstances, always remember Jesus is always on time. And he will be right on time. We see that in the miracles. We see that represented amongst us today in all these miracles. And I tell you what, folks, these are desperate times, perilous times. And I have been fixated of late, more than ever before, how short a time we have. And how bad things are going to get in preparation for the coming of our Lord. And I have preached several times, I think around 12 times this year, at different conferences, and the Lord has really, this is the honest truth, every single time the Lord has brought this thought to my mind, this might be the last time we're able to meet together. It might be the last time Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, this particular assembly is allowed to meet together. True. What we're doing here today could become illegal. Technically, I think it already is, but and we could be forbidden with just one signature. Yeah. Always remember, no matter how bad it gets, Jesus is going to be right on time. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. No matter how bad it gets, he's always all that we need. He'll always be there, right on time. Amen. If we never meet again this side of heaven, let us leave here with that assurance. Come what may, Jesus is always right on time.
Amen. Amen.